I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of The Memo on this Thursday, 21st of January, 2016. Brad Locke here, your host, one of your hosts. And along with me again, she's back, it's Emma Kent. Hey, Emma Kent.
Hey, Brad Locke.
How you doing?
B-Lock.
You can call me that if
Block.
You want. Block. Blockhead. Some people call me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You probably feel like calling me that. Is your lid secured tightly on your coffee over there?
It is.
I wouldn't want you to spill it.
Yeah.
I heard she tried to throw it at you earlier.
I did not try to throw it at Brad. I calmly asked him to remove himself from my cubicle. And then I spilled my water.
Yeah.
My desk.
Because he didn't listen.
Nothing to
move fast
enough. He didn't move fast enough.
Completely unrelated events. He's trying to blame me for spilling her water all over her desk. I was trying to talk to Derek Russell, who's back, but not back on the podcast because he has stuff to catch up on.
I thought we said on Monday we replaced him.
Oh, that's true.
So
Emma could be the permanent replacement if she wants. Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Just don't spill my water again.
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't my fault. Wasn't my fault, Emma.
Okay.
Don't blame me for your
Whatever.
Clumsiness.
So
anyway, how you doing?
I'm great. I'm looking forward to this blizzard that we're going to have this weekend, but not really.
Or not.
Yeah.
Because we always get our hopes up and go storm Walmart and Kroger and then nothing. Maybe a dusting. But who knows? I mean, it's supposed to be like worse, I think, to the west of Tupelo.
Yeah.
Maybe in northwest Mississippi.
1 to 3 inches. I think is what they're saying for our area, which that's enough.
It's a blizzard for us.
That's enough snow to get excited about.
Yeah, you could get the kids out of school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can maybe, enough reason for me to stay home and work tomorrow instead of having to come in.
Yeah, I really just want to sled down my neighbor's driveway. It's a really good looking driveway.
Oh, really?
For sledding,
yeah. Been eyeballing it, huh?
Been waiting for the perfect snow.
Yeah, well.
Do you have a sled? Are you going to use a box?
I have lots of those. I could use a box. I could use... when I was in college, we used to take the lids
Lunch
off
trays.
The dumpsters in the Cotton District in Starkville. And we would take them to campus and slide down all the hills there. And last year, side note, this is a warning. Like, you should be careful when you're sledding because it really is dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
But somebody was sliding down a hill on campus last year. And I saw this happen, and they flew off of, it was like a drop-off, like where it was a hill, and then there was like a brick wall kind of, you know?
Yeah.
And then it dropped off down to near the parking lot, and they flew off the wall and hit a, like, sign.
Ah.
And then rolled off, and, I mean, it was really scary, actually, to watch. And
jeez, yeah.
I'm glad they weren't hurt, which was good, but.
We'll try this at home, kids.
But, yeah, so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, the forecast keeps kind of changing almost by the hour, it seems like. But it appears we're going to get some kind of wintry precipitation probably starting late tonight or early tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have Michaela Morrison here, actually. She did a story for today's paper about the forecast. So we'll talk to her about what might happen and getting ready for possible snow coming in. We're going to talk to Bobby Harrison about the budget cuts for the state government. Zach Orsborne is going to be on the show as well. To talk about this novel affair fundraising event for the library. And Scott Morris is going to be in here to review 13 Hours, a new movie about the Benghazi situation.
To hear about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious about that movie.
Me too. I've heard it's good, but we'll see what M. Scott.
I really want it to be good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, me too. It's. I like those kind of movies, first of all. I mean, American Sniper, thought was great.
Saw that one.
And what was the one with Mark Wahlberg? Played those guys got caught up in a bad situation over in Afghanistan, and one of the villagers helped him out. All his guys got killed. It just came out a couple years ago, but
I can't think of the name. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was based on a real life
Hurt Locker?
Situation. No, it's based on a real life situation. This. Guy that was over there, yeah, I think he wrote a book about it. But anyway, Well, our research department will get on that. And
we'll be back with the name of that Mark Wahlberg movie.
By research department, I mean Chris Kiefer. He's on it.
He's on Google.
Yeah. So anyway, we got a lot to talk about on this Thursday, final show of the week. Thank you all for tuning in. And remember, if you know, listening to this, you can listen either on iTunes, podcast apps, or at memo.djournal.com. Tell your friends about it.
Lone survivor.
Lone survivor.
In 2005, Afghanistan, Navy SEALs, Marcus Luttrell.
Yes.
Michael Murphy, Danny Dietz, and Matthew Axelson deploy on a mission of surveillance to take out Taliban leader Ahmad Saya.
Close enough. So yeah, that was a good movie. It came out not too long ago. Good quick work there.
Thank you.
Chris, okay. All right, well, we got a lot to get to, so let's get to it. Let's get it going with Bobby Harrison down in Jackson, our Capitol Bureau reporter. Bobby, welcome back. How's it going, man?
Hey, man, how y'all doing up in Tupelo today?
Not too bad. Getting ready for the great winter storm of 2016. They have a name for this storm, I guess? I don't know.
We can make one up.
I think they
have Elvis in the name, though.
The King.
Winter Storm King.
Of winter storms.
Yeah. You're not going to get any snow down in Jackson, are you, Bobby?
No, we're just going to get a little rain and maybe a thunderstorm.
Oh, that sounds fun. Well, anyway, let's talk about some state government stuff going on. Phil Bryant, the governor, saying that he's going to have to do some budget cuts, nearly $40 million worth of budget cuts. Now, when you say it like that, Bobby, it sounds bad. From an objective standpoint, is it that big a deal or not?
Well, it's nowhere near the cuts that Governor Barbour had to make, and you know, after the revenue just plummeted, state revenue just plummeted during the 2008-2009 recession. As a matter of fact, it wasn't but until a couple of years ago that the state got back to the revenue level they were collecting prior to the 2008 session. But this is, the shortfall he's making up is really $75 million total, in addition to the 39 million in cuts he's making. He's also dipping into the rainy day fund for another $35 million, or else he would have, I guess, believed he would have had to make more cuts. So it's significant, and it's a reason to be cautious. But it's not as devastating as the cuts were back in 2008 and 2009 up until this point.
You mentioned dipping into the rainy day fund. And also, I mean, how else are they kind of easing the blow? Because I know there's like, for example, some of the entities and agencies are exempt, like Medicaid and the Adequate Education Program.
That's right. He exempted Medicaid. Medicaid is pretty much predicated on how many people get sick. And you need the state money to match and draw down the federal money. Well, roughly 3-to-1 match. So if they cut state money, they're going to lose additional federal money. So they exempted Medicaid, and he did, which was kind of surprising me. He exempted MAEP, the Adequate Education Program, which is, of course, is the mechanism used to send state money to the local school district for their basic operation. He exempted Adequate Education also. And those two budgets are significant in the fact that together, they make up probably 75-80% of the state general fund. They're huge. And so when he exempted those, it made it a little bit more difficult to spread out. And then he exempted other agencies. Like he exempted public safety, all of public safety. He exempted Children's Services has been under the gun lately because of lawsuits saying that, the state's not doing a proper job of taking care of foster children. He exempted Children's Services, and like up in our area of the state of Northeast Mississippi, we don't have 16 section land, which most school districts have as an additional source of revenue, and we have something called a Chickasaw Session Fund, which is predicated on a formula sort of ordered by the court. So he also did not cut that. And so there was several things about that he didn't cut. The agencies that were cut, no agency was cut more than 1.5%. So it's, like I said, at this point, it's not a major deal, but revenue continues to be sluggish, it could become a bigger issue.
Yeah, revenue, has slowed down in the past few months, and that's kind of the reason for these cuts. Now, as to why the revenue has been lagging, the Democrats will say, well, it's because of the tax cuts under Bryant in recent years. Is it easy to pinpoint exactly why they've seen a decline in revenue collections?
Well, I mean, the state legislature has, you know, made some fairly significant tax cuts. So, you know, like the inventory tax cut is scheduled to take roughly $125 million out of the state general fund for the next fiscal year. So that's a significant cut. And in total, it's been about $350 million in various cuts to corporate tax cuts and other types of cuts. So, you know, that could have an impact. And, you know, of course, they're talking about some other sizable tax cuts during this session. So it's going to be interesting to see, if, you know, while they're cutting budgets, whether they're going to be cutting taxes also. That'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But the revenue slowdown is significant. I mean, you know, through the first 6 months of the fiscal year, we have now collected, the state has collected, I think it was about $21 million less than it collected during the same time during the first six months of the prior fiscal year. So that doesn't happen very often when the state collects less money than the prior year. So, yeah, I mean, that is significant. And if that trend continues, that will not bode well for the state budget or legislature or the governor.
Bobby Harrison, you can follow him on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. Read more about this story in today's journal or at djournal.com. Bobby, always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thank y'all. Bye-bye.
I need to remind y'all about a couple of our other podcasts, sports podcasts. We got Prep Rally, the high school sports program with myself and Gene Phelps. Had a new episode drop on Wednesday, so you can check that out in iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. And today, look for a new episode of Double Coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. You can listen to that on iTunes as well, or your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Now we've got Michaela Morris here, who's kind of been our weather correspondent these past few days, getting ready to see what happens with this winter storm that's supposed to come through tomorrow. So, Michaela, what is the latest? I know the forecast has changed some since yesterday, and you've been talking to the National Weather mm-hmm. Service people, and just what should we expect?
Well, I just got off the phone with the National Weather Service meteorologists. Lovely people who are looking at spending the night at the office so they can get in the morning. It looks like the worst of the storm will be centered in the Arkansas and Mississippi deltas, West Tennessee, including Memphis, where high winds and snowfall will combine to create near blizzard-like conditions. So they are expecting periods of whiteout for those folks. So it's a bad day to drive over to the Delta or over to Memphis, and they're expecting that to come in, show up there early morning. For us, the western part of northeast Mississippi, western and north, are included in the winter storm warnings, including Marshall, Benton, Tippah, Alcorn, Lafayette, Union, and Pontotoc, and Calhoun counties are in the area with the greatest snow potential, and they're looking at 4 to 6 inches, and that all depends on how the snow band's set up. But in the central part of the state, they are not expecting the high winds. So while you probably don't necessarily need to go out trucking around, it's not going to be as scary to move around as it will be, say, in the Delta. So now for Tupelo, we are right on the line of the warning and the advisory area. So that means, you know, a couple degrees either way could really change what we see. So right now, and they'll do another update late this afternoon, it looks like we will get 2 to 3 inches of snow. The snow will start the rain will start changing over after 9 a.m., and we'll have a mix of sleet, snow, and rain until about noon, and then it'll be all snow well into the evening, is how things are forecasted now. So things will be slippery, windy, just generally miserable.
Great.
But the scary stuff is over towards Memphis in the Delta. So.
So is the temperature supposed to drop, I guess, from tomorrow morning throughout the day?
Yeah, there you're pretty much looking for the temperature to be wherever it is midnight and then just drop through the day. So so it all kind of depends on how things set up. And does it get colder faster? We could get more snow and conceivably, I guess, higher winds. If it drops more slowly, maybe a little less snow. So, and then towards, you know, Monroe County, Columbus, they're in the 1 to 2 inch range. So,
no snowmen.
No, yeah, you know, depends.
Well, maybe a small snowman.
Maybe a very small snowman. But, they, you know, the farther south and east you go, the more, the less you're going to see.
All right.
Quick question, if I can interject.
Sure.
Hopefully it wasn't a question you're about to ask, Emma.
Well, I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Don't spill your drink on me if I steal your question.
I'm going to take the top off now so I can...
Thanks. When you say blizzard-like conditions, kind of explain what that means. It may not mean what people think it means.
What they're expecting is the winds that are 20 to 30 miles an hour in that... with gusts up to 40. So it isn't that they're expecting feet and feet of snow along the Mississippi River. It's that the wind will be blowing the snow around to the point that that there will be periods that you can't see where you're going, which is a really bad combination when you can't count on your car to go where you steer it.
Yeah, that's not good.
So specifically, they're referring to the visibility. I would think it would be a bad day to fly out of Memphis.
Oh yeah, stay home.
So yeah, I would, if you need to go to Memphis, I would go Thursday night. And chances are you're going to be sitting inside somewhere all day Friday. So. Make sure you're stranded with people you like.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but, you know, and these are funny. Winter storms are funny things. And, I don't think they're expecting a ton of change, but, you know, things are changeable up until it's done. So.
Yeah. And we don't have any school closings as of right now that we know of.
Yeah, you really are playing for Easter Monday.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to be off Friday or you want to be off Easter Monday? But the weather will decide. It'll be interesting. Superintendents will have a tough call to see if they can squeeze a half day in or all of a day. But I would say The farther west and north you are, the more likely you're gonna be home tomorrow. But I definitely might plan to be in Friday evening, you know, or head out after everything's done. But it'll be here till it warms up on Saturday. I haven't checked, but I think we are supposed to come up above freezing on Saturday. So. I wouldn't get in a hurry Saturday morning to go anywhere because it'll be nasty again because everything that is on the roads will freeze. Mm-hmm. So it should be entertaining if nothing else.
Especially if you go to Walmart.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't go to Walmart.
Sharpen your elbows. You know, make sure. It's got, there was still bread at the bread store yesterday.
The bread store?
Yeah, there's a bread store right there on Cliff Gookin.
Yeah.
The Hostess one?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never been in there before.
It's a good buy.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out. All right. Well, thank you, Michaela.
You're so welcome.
Time for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The Benton County Health Department is one of 9 county health departments that will close on February 1st due to shifting demand for services. State Health Officer Dr. Mary Currier said patient flow has seriously declined throughout the state over the past several years. In addition, county health departments in Itawamba, Lafayette, Marshall, Tippah, and Union counties are among those that will be open fewer days a week starting February 1st. Complete list of the new operating hours is available in the Daily Journal and at djournal.com.
Gumtree Property Management has begun exterior and interior renovations to the Landing apartment complex on West Jackson Street near the Tupelo Regional Airport. GTPM President Wilson Coleman said the remodeling goal is to attract renters in the $650 to $700 range. He said people won't recognize the buildings when the work is finished. Coleman hopes to be finished by early summer. GTPM also plans to rename the complex.
Police in Tupelo and Lee County have been busy responding to a rash of overnight car burglaries. A dozen reports were filed Tuesday with the Tupelo Police Department or the Lee County Sheriff's Office. They were concentrated in East Tupelo and along Lumpkin Drive, as well as in the Moorville and Auburn areas. Law enforcement officials said many of the break-ins involved unlocked cars or people leaving something of value in plain sight.
16 members of the Monroe County Volunteer Search and Rescue Team are assisting in the search for a 2-year-old Tennessee boy who has been missing since January 14th. The volunteers left on Wednesday morning for Pinson, Tennessee to help locate Noah Chamberlain. The group did not know how long it would be involved in the search. All right, now we've got reporter Zach Orsborn here to talk to us about the upcoming Friends of Lee County Library fundraiser called A Novel Affair. Coming up in March. So the Friends of Lee County Library, it has partnered up with a couple of chefs to put on this event where they will be tasting different Mississippi dishes. Is that right, Zach?
Correct. Awesome. They're going to bring in Starkville chef Tyler Timms and his friend David Cruz. Tyler Timms owns three restaurants in Starkville, the restaurant Tyler Ben 612 and the guest room, which I'm sure.
All fine establishments. Yes.
Restaurant Tyler's my favorite Starkville.
Yes. Restaurant. The Ben.
The Ben has
Ben's good too, yeah.
Literally the best cheese fries in the entire world.
Yes.
And so they're going to, going kind of like through a flavorful journey of five different regions in Mississippi. And sampling for the fundraiser. They're going to have sponsored tables or individual tickets, and it starts on March 4th.
And so what is this raising money for?
The Friends of the Library, of the Lee County Library, they help raise money to purchase new books. Last year they started, this is their second fundraiser, and last year they raised $20,000, which went towards funding children summer programs and Lunch In with Books. And this year they're aiming for $50,000, and they might need a new bookmobile in the future, so they're looking toward that.
Awesome. So where can people get tickets to this event?
To reserve a table, you got contact Bonnie Gaines. You can contact her at 662-841-9029.
Okay, Zach, you told us a little bit about Tyler Timms, who owns the restaurants in Starkville, but tell us a little bit about his friend.
David Cruz.
David Cruz.
Yeah. He works as a chef instructor at the Viking Cooking School. And in 2013, he was named King of American Seafood, which sounds awesome. I wish I had that title. And he also competed in season 2 of Food Network's Cutthroat Kitchen. The regions they're going to explore and get dishes from is the hills of North Mississippi to the Delta to the Capitol River region, and then across to the Pine Belt and then down to the Gulf Coast. So pretty much all of Mississippi and different kind of flavors from those regions.
Well, I think we can expect the food to be good. It sounds like, well, I know the food is good at the Starkville restaurants, but I can imagine that this will all be delicious. So, cool. Sounds good. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks.
Need to remind y'all about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. Online at thrive.ms. And now we have Mr. M. Scott Morris back on the show. He co-hosted yesterday, and now he's back
as a guest. To make the podcast great again.
I thought you made it great yesterday.
Well, I couldn't have done that yesterday because I had an establishment role. Today I'm come as more of an outsider, and I can make it great again.
Okay. well, we'll go with that. You good with that, Emma?
Yeah, I think I think it's going to be great.
Okay. Me too.
Now there's pressure.
Again.
13 hours.
13 hours is the movie you're reviewing this week, Scott. People are familiar by now with Benghazi, that name, and all the headlines attached to it, and Hillary and everything else. But I guess this movie kind of tells more of the on the ground what exactly happened over there when the ambassador was killed and all that.
Yeah, the full name is 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. And it focuses on these six CIA contractors who are in this CIA compound not far, about a mile away from the ambassador's compound. And our lead guy is Jack Silva. He's played by John Krasinski, and he's not really our lead guy so much as far he's not the lead of the team, but he's the guy we most identify with. We land with him as he shows up on Libya on a hot day and to go do his job. He's somebody who tried to do real estate back when all the real estate bust was happening, and so he went back into this work, which he was so good at. Apparently, a former trainer of Navy SEALs.
Okay.
And so, mainly you get a sense, all right, this is based on a true story, so we all have to do the caveat that, you know, how much is true and how much is not.
Right.
But you get a sense, really, in this movie of the chaos on the ground of a failed state. One of the early scenes, they're trying to buy back weapons that had been looted just to get them off the streets. But there's a lot of weapons going around Libya after Gaddafi was taken down,
yeah,
and they come into play.
Yeah.
There are serious firefights going on, and you definitely pull for these guys as they're being, as wave after wave of people come. They try to save Chris Stevens. I mean, you go in knowing what happens. Yeah. I mean, I think if you haven't heard of Benghazi and know an ambassador was killed, then I would like to see your rock that you've been living under, because I'll bet it's comfortable. But, and so it's hard to know how to feel as you're watching that play out.
Sure.
But it wasn't, again, how true or not, but it was a very chaotic scene where there are guys in Libyans who were with the Americans and Libyan against. And one of the things they said after the movie is like 100,000 Libyans gathered to mourn Stevens' death. And so there weren't that many who killed him. And so you realize this movie is, but Michael Bay is not known for nuance.
Yeah.
But I think he did add some nuance to this, to where you do see what's happening. The people who are, it's kind of weird. You see like two guys getting together. You see the camera again. There's like, now there's five guys there. And the next time you see them, there's a mob there. It's just kind of how this kind of chaotic process grows. And really an interesting movie. Some things I didn't appreciate.
Some Michael Bay kind of stuff.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not going to tell you who lives and who dies, except for Chris Stevens.
Right.
Actually, the body count was much lower than I thought it was from what I had picked up over the years since it happened. But there's one death that just as it happened was powerful as it happened, but they tried to overlay some kind of narration and try to make it more poetic. And that to me is like, what are you doing? And there's a couple of others, another scene where John Krasinski's character says something that's very, very, very touching, except it's counteracted by what he'd done just a few scenes earlier.
Yeah.
And so I think an editor could have gone in there and made this a better movie.
Yeah.
Just by taking some these little mistakes and attempts at glory or whatever that was,
right?
But I give it on the whole. I give it a B minus. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it.
You mentioned John Krasinski plays Jack Silva. He was, of course, one of the stars of The Office,
right?
The hilarious comedy that ran for years. Because I didn't even recognize him in these previews and whatnot. But
he's going the Chris Pratt route,
because
Chris Pratt got buff for Zero Dark Thirty, and in fact, that's the first time I ever saw Chris Pratt. I didn't really watch Parks and Recreation.
Me either.
And but Krasinski, if you're not used to seeing him in this, I think he just disappears into it.
Yeah,
he's buffed up, and he seems like he knows how to handle a weapon.
Yeah.
So apparently, he got the training he needed.
Yeah.
To appear to shoot people.
Yeah. Like I said, didn't recognize him. So it's one of those movies I kind of want to see, because I like these types of movies involving the military and these kind of operations, kind of under the radar kind of things.
And again, you don't want to, it's a movie, so you don't want to give it too much credit. But you look at it and you kind of see just how complicated anything that Americans want to do in today's Middle East actually is. Because even if most of the people are on your side, it doesn't take many people against you to disrupt what you want to do there. One of the lessons I gathered from it. It just seemed like we're going to be telling stories and reading stories, and that means we'll be they'll be making movies about the Middle East for a long time to come.
Yeah.
Because the turmoil is there for, it's going to be there for a while.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. So 13 hours. The movie, Scott gives it a B minus. You can read about it in today's journal or djournal.com. Follow Scott on Twitter at @mscottmorris. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that movie, since it's a Michael Bay movie, I'll probably just wait until it's out on Netflix or something.
Yeah, I was a little skeptical when I saw that Michael Bay made it. You know, I was like, Transformers
are all just horrible in my book.
Yeah, but I'm glad to hear that it was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, yeah, so I'll check it out at some point. Hey, let's check out what's going on this weekend in Northeast Mississippi. You can see some of this info in today's scene section. Northeast Mississippi Championship Rodeo returning to the Bancorp South Arena Friday and Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Tickets start at $14. So they've got the ice up. I saw some pictures on Twitter. They've got the ice all melted and got the dirt down already. So done with ice skating. No more ice skating if you missed out. You can go see the rodeo. That's
your first?
Always,
that be your
fun.
First?
My what?
Your first rodeo?
No. I went to a rodeo a long time ago, I remember, when I was a kid, like 4 or 5 years old. And some country singer that was pretty famous at the time. I can't remember who it was now. You have to give me a minute. BJ something.
BJ.
I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know.
Research department will look that up for me. Kerry Hudson takes
killing me.
Kerry Hudson takes the stage at the Blue Canoe Saturday at 9:30 p.m., so if you want to listen to some good music, head out to the Blue Canoe on Saturday.
Is it BJ Thomas?
BJ Thomas, that's who
it was.
Same
thing I just got, yeah.
He sang at the rodeo, I think.
He's particularly known for his hit songs of the 1960s and 70s, which appeared on the pop, country, and Christian music charts.
Yeah, this would have been the late 70s, early 80s.
Born on August 7th, 1942 in Hugo, Oklahoma.
How about that? Is he still living?
Absolutely.
Wow, okay. BJ Thomas, maybe. Hey. Throwback Thursday. Hey, Emma, you did a story for Scene Section since Derek was off in Orlando goofing around.
Mm-hmm.
TCT going to present You Can't Take It With You. Opens January the 28th, goes through the 30th. So what's this about? I haven't read the story yet, sorry.
Wow. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, it's your story. You tell me what's it about.
It is about it's about a family. And kind of the main like conflict, I guess, of the show is there's this really quirky family and they all live like in this one house, and their daughter, Alice, gets engaged to a nice, normal man and brings him home to meet the family. And then it's just kind of like, is he going to be able to fit in with this family? Because they're so wacky and... she really loves her family, and so it's kind of, she's torn between the two, and his family is kind of a more refined, you know. So, it's two worlds, Romeo and Juliet,
hilarity,
that whole kind of thing.
Hilarity ensues.
It's really funny. I watched the first little bit of it when they were rehearsing, and I had a good laugh, so I think it's going to be really good.
Cool. Okay. Well, yeah, that'll be next weekend at the Lyric Theater. The 28th through the 30th, TCT's You Can't Take It With You, which I'm sure I've heard of this production. I'm just not very cultured, so I haven't seen any iteration of it.
As I was watching it, I kind of think my high school did it.
Okay.
When I was in high school, because it seemed really familiar.
Yeah.
But
okay.
It's, you know, I think.
There's somebody listening to this podcast right now going, what's wrong with you people? Have you
you
not
haven't
heard
of You Can't Take It With You? Derek would probably say that.
Or BJ Thomas. You know, I was trying to think which song sounded really familiar, and I looked up while you were talking, Hooked on a Feeling with BJ Thomas.
Okay.
Oh.
There you go.
So,
I guess that was my first show that I saw.
That doesn't sound like rodeo music to me, though.
I just remember being at a rodeo-type place. Like, he performed I don't know if they have a halftime at rodeo.
Was that in Ruston?
I don't remember. No, it was. I don't know. We may have just moved to Clinton at that point, or it could have been before that when we were living in Oxford, but I don't know where it was. It seems like it was in Jackson, though. I don't know. It was a long time ago, Chris. I can't remember. Everything runs together from about age, whatever, when you start having memories to like 10 or 11. It's all the same to me. I don't know. But anyway, that's it for the show. Emma, good job again. I think we're just going to keep you in here and Derek can deal with it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks. Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all can follow the show on Twitter, by the way, at DJournalMemo. Send us an email, questions or comments, insults, praise, whatever. That's memo@journalinc.com. You can follow me on Twitter, if you like, at Bradlock. And Emma is on there at M. Crawford Kent.
Yes.
That's E. M. Crawford Kent.
Yes.
Yes. And Chris Kiefer at Chris Kiefer. Two F's.
Two E's.
Two E's. One R.
One R.
One K.
One K.
One I.
Before E.
Except after C.
Yeah, but this is after K, so.
Oh, now we're all confused.
No I in Kiefer. Except that there is. Psych.
I'm an egomaniac.
Wasn't that a funny prank?
Oh, we knew that.
That was good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Good one. Good one, Emma.
We're taking submissions for pranks.
Yeah, we need to. Any suggestions, send to memo@journalinc.com on how to prank somebody. Okay. We got to go. We'll be back Monday, and we'll see if Derek Russell is back, too. So until then, y'all have a great weekend, and try to stay warm.